So, Dr. Kessler, one of the things that helps us when it comes to resting is, first of all, understanding that it really is okay for us to rest, and then realizing that there are some practices that we can put into play that can help us actually rest.
That's right. And really, you see these practices reflected in the life of both of God's Old Testament people and the practices of Jesus Christ. You know, foundational to these practices are the disciplines of solitude, the discipline of silence, which is both a matter of trying to find a quiet space and also being silent. You know, sometimes we use our own talk to both try to control the world around us and really to kind of shut people out. And then also the pattern of a day where in the Old Testament you had, and actually not just the day, but on a weekly basis, you had a day that God's people were, as part of their spiritual responsibility, to cease from labor. Now, there is a difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament practice, that in the Old Testament it was a matter of law. And that's not true in the New Testament, because that was really pointing to a spiritual reality that's found in Christ. But many people have found that it is very beneficial to create this kind of space in their schedule where they can step back from their busy activities and kind of let the world go on without them. It's really an exercise in faith, you know. Because I really have to trust that when I step back from my daily activities, that God is both going to take care of the world around me, and He's going to take care of me. You know, that because when I'm not doing something, I'm very aware of all the things that are around me that are left to be done, and there's a sense where I'm relying on God to take care of that on my behalf.
Wow. It is so phenomenal, the thought, the concept that we really have to place faith in God that things are going to be okay while we're resting.
Yes, because, you know, that's one of the things that's different about the way we think about rest than the way the Bible portrays it. We tend to think of rest as if it's a luxury, as if we're... you know, we're being selfish when we're resting. Actually, the practice of rest in Scripture was often a sacrifice, you know, because you're not, for example, if you're not working, then you're not earning. And you're basically making a commitment. You're saying to God, I believe that you're going to meet my needs. You know, if you practice a discipline of solitude, you separate yourself from the people around you, and actually that can be very hard for us. Not just, it's certainly challenging for us in this digital culture, where in Jesus' day he struggled with the issue of the crowd. He had to separate himself. The crowd pursued him. In our day, we carry the crowd in our pocket, you know. So I have my, you know, if I have my smartphone. In Jesus' day, people had to get in a boat. They had to walk to find them. In our day, they just push a button, and they can come right into my presence. And unless I take the simple, it's a simple step, but it's actually very difficult for most of us. If I don't take the step to turn it off, to turn down the volume so I can't hear that, you know, the constant ringing that tells me I have a new text message or a new voicemail. But the crowd is always with us. Our workplace is always with us. So there is an element of sacrifice involved in engaging a discipline of solitude, the discipline of silence.
Well, you mentioned the crowd is always with us. And sometimes we just don't want to let the crowd go. Sometimes the crowd doesn't want to let us go. We feel like we've got to be productive, super productive, as a matter of fact. And it's not always the boss pushing us. It's not always the pastor pushing us. A lot of times we're pushing ourselves.
I'm just curious.
If we just keep pushing like that, we know that we can begin to wear our bodies down. In fact, I was reading an article just earlier today that talked about how generally when, you know, there's a report, a study that suggests that people working over 46 hours a week on a yearly basis can set themselves up for cardiovascular disease. We know that we have the impact on the bodies by just going. But I'm curious, if we just keep going and don't get our proper rest, even when we're working for the Lord, is it possible that at some point we can have a negative impact, all that activity can have a negative impact on our spirits?
Absolutely. And I think that's one of the lies of this driven culture, you know, because the reason that we are so driven is we're really trying to be productive, we're trying to be effective, but by burning the candle at both ends, by living in this world of 7-day-a-week mentality, 24 hours a day, where we're always available, always at work. Not only do we wear ourselves down physically, we wear ourselves down emotionally, and in the long run, we're not effective. We're working harder, and we seem to be accomplishing less, I think. Because, first of all, we end up doing it primarily in our own strength instead of relying on the empowerment of God through the Holy Spirit. I think it also creates a context where resentment builds up, you know, particularly when it comes to the things that I'm doing for Christ. When it becomes a case where I'm trying to do this to prove my devotion to Christ, inevitably, two things creep in. One is this spirit of comparison, you know, where I'm comparing what I'm doing with what other people are doing.
Yes, sir.
And I become embittered because it never seems to me like other people are doing as much as I'm doing. And also this spirit of spiritual ambition, you know, where I'm really trying to outdo other people. It's a sort of a schizophrenic mindset. On the one hand, I'm angry with people because I don't think that they're working as hard as I'm working. And at the same time, I'm trying to outdo them in everything that I'm trying to accomplish. So it creates this competitive, driven kind of culture. Rather than seeing ourselves as being gifted by God, missional, you know, called in a place to serve, and what God may be calling someone else to do is different, perhaps, than what he's calling me to do. And I do think that the kingdom, the cause of the kingdom, becomes damaged with that kind of a mentality. And then also that ambition, that sense of ambition, you know, it creeps into the church, where the church then begins to see itself as it's a marketplace kind of mentality. It's in competition with every other church. And then people who come there to worship then are no longer worshipers, but they're treated as if they're employees, you know, because we're trying to sell this product. So it really becomes, I think, a real trap.
It's so amazing that the very thing that, at least on one level, we're trying to accomplish, and that is a work that will please the Lord, we're causing to take us into a place mentally and attitudinally where we're actually displeasing to the Lord.
Yeah.
With all of that ungodly competition.
And right.
That willingness to drive. Well, Dr. Kessler, you have shared some tremendous insights. Please share with us a little more about our guest, Dr. John Kessler. I mentioned that you earned your doctorate of ministry from Trinity International University and that you're chair and professor of pastoral studies at the Moody Bible Institute in Chicago. Tell us what else has been going on.
I've been at Moody since 1994. Before that, I was a pastor in central Illinois for 9 years. And my wife, Jane, and I live here in the Chicago area in northwest Indiana, and I have two sons who live in Portland, Oregon. So,
I'll tell you, so you know what it is to go through the challenge of really, really figuring out how to balance, because you've had family, you've had career, you've had school in there, and that's no joke, and everybody knows that. And so you've really had to go about the business of learning how to balance. And I guess that once we get to a point where we figure out how to rest and that becomes a part of our lifestyle, we have to keep it a part of our lifestyle, which in itself, I guess, can be another challenge.
Yeah, and I think, you know, the important principle is to recognize that rest begins with God. It grows out of a relationship that we have with Jesus Christ. Although there are practices that help us to better experience rest, it's God who provides it. And I think that's the important thing that I'm trying to communicate with this book, that rest ultimately is a gift, and that we experience it in the person and work of Jesus Christ.
I love it. Where can people find your books?
You can find it on, it's published by University Press. You can find it at their website or at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, all the major online sellers of books.
Dr. Kessler, thank you so much for having empowered us to rest.
It was great to be with you, Carl. Thanks so much.
Quite welcome. Stay with me, everyone. I'll be right back.